Good morning. Glad you're here with us today. Not too long ago, one of my kiddos came home from preschool, and in his hand, this guy had a ton of solid gold, or so he thought. He had a ton of gold that looked like this, and we sat down, and he was so excited to pull it out, and he was so excited to talk about this gold with me and how valuable it was. And he told me the story about where he got this gold and how he discovered it. And it was in his class. They went on this treasure hunt. They had this map. It led them around the school. They explored the different spots. And eventually the map took him outside. It led him to a sandbox. And there's like an X in the sandbox. X marks the spot, whatever. And they start digging. And they found all of this gold, right? These golden nuggets under the surface of the sand. And there was a huge bag of them. And they thought, man, this is so incredibly valuable. Nobody needs all of this. Let's split it up between our class. These are four-year-olds now. Let's split it up between our class and take it home. And he was thrilled, right? He talked about how valuable it was and all of the things that he was going to buy with this solid gold. And so I indulged him. I said, what are you going to buy, man? Like trying to get in his head for a minute. And he said, I'm going to buy a boat, and I'm going to buy four-wheelers, and I'm going to buy all of these toys, and we're going to be able to do anything we want all the time. And I was sort of going along there with him. And I said, let me see that gold, bud. It's going to take some solid gold to be able to do that. And he said, Dad, this is solid gold. And so you can imagine how disappointed he was when I began to unwrap his solid gold and then eat his gold right in front of him. I had to break it to him that we are not paying for a preschool that gives out solid gold in the classes, buddy. It's not real. Fake, you call it fool's gold, whatever, but the point is, it's not going to get you where you want to go. And that same truth is found in our text today, James chapter 3. If you've got a Bible there, we're going to see James take a long, hard look at wisdom, because the truth is, there's people that are holding really, really tight to this, right, to this earthly wisdom, and that they think it's going to get them somewhere, but there's going to be a point in their life where they realize that the wisdom that they are holding on to, it's not from God, and it's not going to lead them or get them where they want to go. In fact, it's fool's gold, not from God, right? But we're also going to see in James 3 that there's this heavenly wisdom. It's birthed in the heart and in the mind of God. It's incredibly valuable to us. It is graciously given from our Heavenly Father to each and every one of us. It is the real deal. It will lead to life. It will lead to joy. It will lead to righteousness. It will lead to peace and a life that pleases our Heavenly Father. And when you set those two against each other, it becomes really clear where we should go. In fact, this is our main idea. If you're taking notes, put this at the top of the page, and it'll all flow from this. Earthly wisdom brings chaos, but godly wisdom brings peace. And my hope and prayer this morning, as we dive into God's word, is that you and I, that we go slow, and we take an honest look at our lives this morning as we read God's word to see if we're living lives that are driven by wisdom that comes from God. And if we are, I pray this morning that we thank Him for that wisdom, right? That He gives graciously to us. But if we're not, I pray this morning that we drop whatever fool's gold we're holding on to and instead go after godly wisdom. That's our first point today. If you're taking notes, it's simply this: pursue godly wisdom. Look at James 3, starting in verse 13. James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. He opens up this passage, this text on wisdom, with a rhetorical question. He's done it before in James. He'll do it again in James before we're done. And his goal is to get his readers in the first century and his readers in our century to begin thinking, okay, what's going on here? What really is wisdom and who is wise? And you might have heard that question, or there's a lot of people that have heard that question, and they immediately begin to think about, okay, what do I know? They think about their education. They think about their schooling. They think about their degrees. They think about their life experience. They think about the things that they have picked up on over the course of their lifetime. And then maybe they get to a place where they answer and they say, okay, that's me. I think that I am wise. And the moment that somebody says, okay, that's me, I'm wise, I'm smart, I'm well-educated, I read the right things, I've had the right experiences in my life, James says, okay, you think that you're smart, now prove it. But here's the catch: not with what you know, prove it with how you live. James is trying to change how they, back then, how we view wisdom. We see here in God's word, it's not an accumulation of information that shows up on a test, right? Godly wisdom, instead, it's revealed, it is proven by how we live our lives. Well, we need to make sure that we understand that, right? Because in our world, that there's a lot of information out there for us to process. I mean, there are articles and books and blogs and podcasts and TED Talks. There are so many sources of information that are all trying to help us gain what our world would call wisdom, what our world would call understanding, right? And, I mean, just think about it. Our world has a specific look for wisdom, right? It drives the way that we think about wisdom. If you were just to describe a smart person, right, how would you describe their physical look? Right? Every TV show, every movie, it's the exact same way. It's the professor type, right? The wise person, they're always surrounded by books. They have a sweater vest on. More than likely, they wear glasses, right? You know the person that I'm talking about, right? Now, listen, I wear contacts, but there's times where I need to wear glasses. And you know what people tell me on the days that I wear my glasses? They say, man, Stephen, you look so what? You look so smart. My first thought is, well, I fooled you. And my second thought, I just walk away thinking, what do I normally look like, okay? And I just say that to point out there's this certain way that we view wisdom. There's this certain way that our world thinks about it, right? That the pattern of our world is gather the information that's laid out there and then use that information that you intellectually are able to gather to better your life here on earth. Listen, but this morning we see in God's word we should desire wisdom. We should pursue wisdom, but we need to understand that we've got to be after godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. It's godly wisdom that's going to make a real impact on our hearts, on our lives, and lead us in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Listen to what Proverbs 3 has to say about wisdom. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 13, says, "Blessed is the one that finds wisdom, the one that gains understanding. For the gain from wisdom is better than the gain from silver. The profit from wisdom is better than the profit from gold. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing that you can desire can compare with wisdom." Think about that. The Bible says nothing that you could ever desire on this earth will compare with wisdom. Think about that. If you could desire and have anything in this world, options are unlimited. Well, think about that. You could desire and have unlimited money, unlimited finances. You could desire and have an Aggie National Championship and an Astros World Series. You could desire and have all of these things. And listen, we all desire something, don't we? But we do. Maybe it's big, maybe it's little. God's word tells us right here that there's no earthly desire that could ever compare to godly wisdom. Here's what that means. It means that the joy and the fulfillment that your strongest earthly desire could bring you will pale in comparison to experiencing and living the wisdom that comes from God. Knowing that, as children of God, we should pursue godly wisdom, understanding that it's not a gathering of facts. Instead, it is a life lived pleasing to God. And as we go after this godly wisdom, wisdom that's from above, we need to understand that it is different than what the world calls wisdom. That's our second point this morning. We need to be at a place where we're able to understand wisdom. There's two kinds, godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And in verse 14, we begin to get a glimpse into that worldly wisdom. Look at it with me. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth." This is not wisdom that comes from above. This is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." These verses show us that earthly wisdom is selfish. It should not surprise us. If you think about it for a minute, the pattern of this world is focus on here, focus on now, with little to no thought about our eternities, right? Earthly wisdom says seize the day, get what you can get, and get it now. But godly wisdom says seize eternity, right? Paul describes a group of people in Philippians that are really wrapped up in the here and now of our world without thinking about what's coming next. And he writes about them and gives us a warning in Philippians 3:19. He says, those people, I mean, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame. Why? because their minds are set on earthly things. Earthly wisdom seeks to satisfy worldly or earthly cravings. Look back at verse 14. The two main character traits of that earthly wisdom, it's jealousy and it's selfish ambition. If someone claims to be wise, but their hearts are driven by jealousy, or their hearts are driven by selfish ambition, God's word says they're living a lie. They're holding on to that fool's gold, thinking it's going to change their world, thinking it's going to make them better, when in reality, that fool's gold, that earthly wisdom, it makes a bunch of promises, and it never actually delivers. Listen, that is not wisdom from God, right? The two character traits, bitter jealousy, think about what that does. And jealousy, it sees what other people has, and it begins to desire it. Jealousy, man, when we're jealous, it stops us from being grateful to our Heavenly Father for what He's given us. Jealousy hardens our hearts. It keeps us from being content. It keeps us from being satisfied. Jealousy is this hunger that always wants more. Selfish ambition, it's similar. It makes us want to succeed and move up, but for selfish motives. Whether it's money or jobs or positions, it's to get what we want for the here and now. And this gets a little tricky for us, so let's just make sure that we understand this. Because we should work hard in all that we do. This text does not say that ambition is bad. This text says selfish ambition is bad. You and I, as children of God, what we should be and do the absolute best in all that we do. Right? The Bible tells us when we go to work that we should work as unto the Lord. Anything less than our best effort is wrong, right? Our work ethic should be unmatched. Our creativity, our ingenuity, our development of the natural skills and talents and abilities that God has given us. Man, we should be off the charts doing it, knowing that we're working as unto the Lord. Not for the glory of self, not for the promotion of self, but for the glory of the Lord. That's different than the world, right? In the world's eyes, the wise thing to do is accumulate stuff and money for ourselves. And if we do it, we're going to look wise to the world. We're going to look successful to the world. We're going to have what the world says is important. But if our motive, look at verse 14, it is our own glory. If we are selfish, we read here that we are not wise in the eyes of the Father. We're holding on to something that's not real. The world might be patting us on the back, right? People might be looking at us. Right, but it says we're missing wisdom that comes from God, wisdom that actually will lead to joy and peace in your life. And in fact, James says that not only is that selfishness, it's not wisdom from heaven, he calls it earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Think about it. So the selfish way of thinking is from who? From the enemy. It's from the devil. We see it first in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had clear wisdom from God. They had clear instruction from God. They had been given every good thing to enjoy in the peace and in the presence of God forever. But then the devil spoke up. He shifted their perspective to stop thinking about God, to stop thinking about eternity with Him, and instead to think about themselves. He made their hearts selfish by twisting the words of God. And they went after something that they thought was good that ended up being not. It's like the gold in the sandbox for my kid. He was so excited and then so let down. Don't be fooled like that. Don't pursue what our culture would call wisdom, right? Selfishness is not from God. It's the opposite of Jesus, isn't it? It's the opposite of the life that Jesus lived. And look what that earthly wisdom, that selfishness and jealousy lead to in verse 16. It says, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder. And there will be every vile practice. Think about our world. Have you seen disorder and chaos in our world recently? I think you could all make a strong case that our world has been swimming in chaos for quite some time now. Because we have a bunch of people that are wise in their own eyes. A bunch of people that are going their own direction, neglecting wisdom from God. And the result is exactly what verse 16 says. Every vile practice is going on right now in our world. Sin is rampant in our world. Unspeakable things that we never would have imagined happening in our world have become common in the world that we live in. And all of that flows from selfishness, which we see here is the foundation of earthly wisdom. There's people that think they have it together. They're doing what they want, and they think that's okay. But this text says, at the end of the day, that they're missing heavenly wisdom. as children of God, what we've got to go after wisdom, but we've got to go after godly wisdom. There's a difference, right? If you look in verse 17, well, we get the highlights of what godly wisdom is. Look at verse 17. He says, wisdom that's from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's impartial, and godly wisdom is sincere, right? Godly wisdom from above, it's on perfect display in the life of Jesus, isn't it? Think about the life of Christ. Think about what he did. Think about his characteristics. He lived out, he personified godly wisdom here on earth for us. Let's look at these characteristics. First, we see that godly wisdom is pure, right? Godly wisdom, it means it doesn't mess around with sin, right? Purity, it's not seeing how close to the line that we can get. Purity is not seeing what we can get away with. Purity is running to Jesus. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A pure life leads to a wise life before our Heavenly Father. Next, we see in verse 17 that godly wisdom is peaceable, right? It's not violent. It's not trying to start conflicts. It's not stirring things up for the sake of stirring things up. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. Our words, our actions, if we are living out godly wisdom, they should bring about peace, not chaos. Worldly wisdom leads to chaos, but godly wisdom brings peace. Next, we see in verse 17, godly wisdom is gentle. It's kind. It's tender. It's not frustrated. It's not abrasive. It's not brash. Good way to evaluate this is just think about your life. How do you respond to those unexpected setbacks? How do you respond to moments of frustration and trouble? Anger or gentleness? I have this very vivid memory. A few years ago, I went into the Pizza Hut, the front of our neighborhood. We had friends over, their kids were over. I was going to pick up the pizza. I arrived on purpose 5 minutes after it was supposed to be ready, so I wouldn't have to wait. I could walk in, get it, and head back to our house. And there was nobody behind the counter in this Pizza Hut. There was another guy waiting inside, and I said, they helped you already? And he goes, I haven't seen anybody, and I've been here for a few minutes. And so I didn't want to wait out there forever, and I hollered out. Nobody came, so I went back in the kitchen. And I found three of the Pizza Hut employees, and they're just hanging out in the kitchen. And so I was gentle. Godly wisdom is gentle. I was gentle and said, hey, there's a couple guys out here. Just whenever you'll have a minute, you can come check us out or whatever. And so I went back out to wait, and nobody came. And so after several minutes, I said, maybe they're cooking it. I don't know. And so I went back there again, and they're like hanging out, talking. They're just sort of having this thing. And so I mentioned it again and went back out there. And I told Chelsea later, I felt like I was on video, right? That this was a social experiment, and they were seeing how people would react in this environment. And I was a little frustrated, and Chelsea's calling, and the kids are hungry, and we've got friends over. And so, my fuse is burning a little short at this point. And I walked back into the kitchen for the third time, and I was going to cook the pizza myself or something. I was walking out of there with pizza, and I said, hey. And by the grace of God, before I could say anything else, this guy looked up at me and said, hey, are you Stephen Morris? And I said, nope. And I'm just kidding. I said, I am. Have we met? And he was a high school kid that had been brought to one of our camps by another high school kid. And we got to talk for a little bit, and by the grace of God, again, he kept me gentle up to that moment, and we had this great connect time. And he was at church the next week. He got saved. He was baptized later. God did this really, really cool thing in his life, and it was all because of that moment right there. Listen, godly wisdom is gentle. It's not brash. It's not abrasive. In that scenario, our culture, earthly wisdom says, you were late. My pizza should be free. You did me wrong. Now you owe me something. Earthly wisdom would go out and leave a bad review. Earthly wisdom would tell somebody off. Listen, godly wisdom is gentle. Godly wisdom is gentle with people because we have a Savior that's been gentle with us. Back to verse 17. Godly wisdom is open to reason. Or in James 1, we see that we're supposed to be quick to listen. This is very similar. Right? If we're open to reason, it means we're willing to hear people out. It doesn't mean we just have a conversation with them long enough to argue back with them. It means that we listen well enough to understand someone's heart, to understand what's making them tick, where they're coming from, so that we can speak life and hope into them. Godly wisdom is full of mercy. We've been shown mercy by God. We show mercy to others. Godly wisdom is fruitful. James has talked about this again in chapter 1. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. The implanted word of God takes root in our heart and it flows out into our lives with what we do, right? That the fruit of Jesus is bared out in the life of the person that is wise in the eyes of God. Godly wisdom is impartial. We looked at that these past couple weeks in James 2. It just simply means that people that are living with the wisdom of God, I mean, we see every person we encounter as someone that is made in the image of God. And we treat them as such, not based on what they've done for us or what they could do for us. We treat them as image bearers of Jesus. And then finally, godly wisdom is sincere. It's not fake. It's genuine. It doesn't just show up Sundays at church. It shows up Mondays at work, Mondays at school, right? Godly wisdom, it's sincere. It's the real deal. Look back at verse 13 again, where he started this whole thing off. Is anyone wise? Let them show it by how they live. Or if they are wise, they're going to live out verse 17, and they're going to be pure, peaceable, gentle. They're going to be open to reason. They're going to be full of mercy and good fruits. They're going to be impartial and sincere. Listen, James is showing us this morning wisdom. Wisdom's not shown in what we know. Wisdom is shown in how we live. In the description here of godly wisdom, it is almost word for word identical with several New Testament texts that tell us what it looks like if we are living a Christian life. I mean, think about it. Galatians 5, right? They're the picture of a Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? We see that in godly wisdom here. What about Ephesians 4, where Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy to the calling of which you've been called, with humility and gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love, maintain unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, right? All of that. I mean, it's just living out godly wisdom. And I love how James wraps this section up in verse 18. We see godly wisdom brings peace. He says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Back to our main idea. Earthly wisdom leads to chaos. Godly wisdom brings peace. And so with these two options before us, it's really clear which way we should live. It's really clear which source of wisdom is going to give us the love and the peace and the hope and the joy and the righteousness in our lives. Right? It's godly wisdom above all, and it's not even close. And so as I read this text, it leads me to a place where I think, how do I do that? Right? How can I live out that godly wisdom? How can I get that godly wisdom? And if you're thinking that, let me give you a few points of application as we prepare to head out of here, right? If you want to be full of godly wisdom, your first step is simply this. Pray for godly wisdom. James told us at the beginning of this book, chapter 1, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. So this morning, if you'd say, I don't feel wise. If this morning you'd say, I'm walking through situations in my life and I don't know what to do. If you'd say, my life is full of chaos right now. If you'd say, I don't feel like I've got peace in my life right now. Then there's a good indication that you're not full of that godly wisdom. And if that's the case, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. James just says, ask God for it. And when you ask, he says, believe that you'll get it. And the Bible says that God will give you that godly wisdom. He's generous to all without finding fault. If you need godly wisdom in your life, and we all do, start there and pray for it. Second, if you want godly wisdom in your life, read your Bible, right? Open up the words of God, right? It's not about what we know and what we can do. It's about what God has said and simply living it out, right? Don't try to go at it alone. Go after the Lord and lean on him for wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding, but what? In all your ways, acknowledge God, and God will make your path straight, meaning you will know what to do. Right? Be wise, not in your eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. Right? You want to be full of godly wisdom. Read God's word, which is full of his heart and his wisdom. And as we read God's word, man, our minds are filled up with him. Our paths are straight. We can discern his will and go where he's called us to go. Want to be full of godly wisdom? Number three, remember what God has done. Right? Remember what God has done in your life. In my quiet time this week, I was on Tuesday morning reading Psalm 104 through Psalm 107. And I've read it before, but I've never really pieced together the way those chapters are ordered right there. In Psalm 104, we were reminded of God's work in creation and all that God created and all that God did, and we're encouraged in that psalm to praise God and worship God, remembering all that he did in creation to bring about our earth and to bring us right into existence. And then in Psalm 105, we read about God's promise to Abraham and how God promised to, through Abraham, bless the families of the earth, bless the nations of the earth. Well, we know that God's talking about sending Jesus through the line and through the people of Abraham, and we're encouraged to praise God, to worship God, to remember God, to thank God for his promise to send a Savior. And then in Psalm 106, we see God's hand actively at work in the family of Abraham. What we see increasing the family as they spend time in Egypt. We see God sending Moses to deliver them from Egypt. We see the provision of God and the hand of God navigating them through the desert, getting them the food and the water to get there. We see in Psalm 107, God parting the Red Sea and getting them into the promised land and clearing a path for them. And all the while, we're encouraged, remember what God has done, celebrate what God has done. Remember what God has done, praise God for what he has done. And as long as the people did that in the Old Testament, the family of Abraham and the people of Israel, as long as they did that, they walked in the wisdom of God. And they lived in these times and in these seasons of peace. But in those Psalms, they tell us, right, that the minute that the people of Israel forgot what God had done, the wisdom was gone and foolishness took over. Listen to one of the verses in there. In Psalm 106:13, it says this, "But the people soon forgot the works of God." When they forgot the works of God, listen to this. It says they did not wait for his counsel. They forgot what God did, and they turned away from God's wisdom. A few verses later, let's see where that leads to. It says they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They had been led by God, celebrating God, worshiping God, thanking God, remembering God for all that he had done along the way to get them out of Egypt. Then they forget. And they build this gold statue, like some of the nations around them, and they begin worshiping this gold statue. Look at how it says in verse 21 of Psalm 106. They forgot God. They forgot their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot what God, their Savior, had done. And when they forgot what God had done in their life, listen to this, they began to live like the rest of the world. I wrote down in my journal Tuesday morning, God, please, please don't let that be us. God, help us remember what you've done in our life. You know, just take a second. Just think for a minute. Remember what God's done in your life. Remember salvation. Remember the forgiveness that you have in him. Remember the hope and the mercy that he's given you. Think about what he's done in your family. Think about what he's done just in your work, in your job, in your provision. Think about what he's done and for your health. I mean, just think about all the ways that God has been at work in your life and understand, be sensitive to the fact that God is at work all around you all the time. Even when we don't understand it, God is at work in your life. We need to be people. We see in God's word that remember what God has done. Constantly in the state of gratitude and thanksgiving for what he's done. And as we remember how God has moved, how God has worked, as we remember who he is, that then we're going to lean on him and his wisdom far above anything that we could do on our own. You want to be full of godly wisdom? Remember what God has done in your life. And then finally, if you want to be full of godly wisdom, walk with other people that are full of godly wisdom. You're going to end up like the people that you hang around, the people that speak into your life on a regular basis. They influence you more than you'll ever know or understand. Hebrews 10:24 says this, "Let us consider how to stir one another up," right? That means move and motivate people to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together like some people do, but instead encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let godly people, wise people, speak into your life. Let them encourage you to pursue God. As you pursue God and walk with God, you're going to live a wise life before God. You're going to avoid the chaos of the world and live in peace. A great way to do that, I mean, get in a life group here in our church family. The big group is good, but that small group, it's just different, right? We need people speaking into our life, stirring us up, back to verse 13 of this, right? Stirring us up to wisdom and good deeds done in meekness and humility. Because the reality is there's going to be moments where I miss it and I need people speaking into my life. There's going to be moments where you miss it and you need people speaking into your life. Not not with this worldly counsel, but instead with godly wisdom, pointing us back to him. James' initial question, who is wise among you? Every one of us, I hope, should want to answer, I'm wise. Every one of us should want our kids to answer, man, yeah, my kids are wise. My grandkids are wise. My church family, the people that God has surrounded me with, they are wise people. Let's ensure that we're turning from selfishness and instead asking God to help us to walk day by day in his wisdom. It's his wisdom that's going to lead us to a life of peace and righteousness. And as we live with that peace, we're going to bring it to the world around us that desperately needs to hear from our Savior. Would you pray with me this morning? As you bow your head this morning, I just want you to think about that godly wisdom where James asks, who among you is wise? We saw this morning, wisdom comes from God, right? And it only comes if we're in a relationship with God. So if you say this morning, you know what? I feel like my life's been a chaos. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. And it very well could be that you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior, that you need to, through Jesus, step into a relationship with God. You need to become a child of God. And God's word tells us that in order for us to do that, we just simply place our faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible says the moment we do that, we're a new creation in Christ. We become a child of God. If that's you today, if you're ready to step out of the chaos and into a life of peace and righteousness, I want to encourage you to trust in Jesus as your Savior. When we dismiss in just a minute, stop in our prayer room at the back of the worship center on the left-hand side of our room here and tell somebody, hey, you're ready to trust in Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're in here this morning and you've done that. You've trusted in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. If that's you, I want to encourage you just to do what James said in James 1. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for that godly wisdom to enable you to live a life that is pleasing to him and that ultimately leads to peace.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.